Matthew 16. Some people start out right, but they don't end up right. They always start out right, but then they start fading in the middle, man. You don't need to fade. Stay with it. Stay with it. I want to preach this morning in Matthew chapter 16 about the church. It's going to be a series. It probably will be. Matthew 16. I love the church. I love the church. And, you know, when you talk about the church, you could be talking about the local church. This is a local church, but there's a lot of people in a local church that are not saved. They could be members of a local church, but not saved. But I'm talking about, when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the believers in Jesus Christ and the believers in Jesus. Let's read first Matthew 16 and look at verse 18. Actually, back up to about 17. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So what is he saying? Jesus said, Who do men say that I am? Look back at verse 13. And Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist. And, you know, Herod thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some Elias, Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is he to you? He said, What say ye that I am? And Jesus Christ is everything. Yeah. And he should be everything. He should be everything to me, everything to you. I mean, he's life, he's breath, he's everything. And everything you have is his anyway. It should be, I mean, our lives are not our own, the Bible says. But then Simon Peter had a way about him. I mean, I was watching a Kirk Douglas thing where they were interviewing Kirk Douglas back, way back. And they asked, Kirk Douglas just died this week. He was 103 years old. He was a Jew. Most people didn't know that. And they asked Kirk Douglas, said, what would John Wayne think of you taking right being a writer and taking this part where he was like a suicidal maniac? He said, he called me a sissy. And he said, John Wayne said, hey, look, man, we got a reputation that we got to uphold. We got to have a reputation that we need to be masculine men. And he said, you playing that part makes me gag. And Kirk Douglas laughed about it. He said, yeah, he didn't understand. He said, John Wayne always wanted this persona that he was a masculine man, which he was. Now, he was an actor. He wasn't a real deal. But God wants men in his church and women in his church to be not actors, but the real deal. And be like Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he just stepped right up. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. I mean, he spoke right up, man. And Simon Peter, I mean, everybody else was, Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. And Simon said, no, not me, man. I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to step up. I'm going to fight for you. And he said, he got a sword, and he did try to do it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Glenda and I, and we was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we seen that place. And Simon Peter said, the whole crowd came out there, and Simon Peter cut the ear, tried to take his head off. And he cut the ear of the high priest's servant, his ear off. Simon Peter was a man's man. But I tell you what, he denied the Lord. And he cursed and swore. You say, are you better than Simon Peter? No, no. We all got our weak moments. We all got our places in our lives that sometimes we get weak. But the Lord wants you to be strong. And most Christians today, in this late Laodicean period, they're very weak. Very weak when it comes to loving God and serving God, worshiping God. They'd rather listen to WDSD and all the other junk that's on the radio. They listen to all that trash, and they start feeling sorry for themselves and all that stuff. This fellow, we went to the funeral yesterday, killed himself. And then more and more people, they're saying the statistic, more and more people are killing themselves. Why? You know what that is? That's feeling sorry for yourself. You get to the place where you think, I haven't achieved what I really want. I'm going to tell you something. You put your life in Jesus Christ, it's a blessing. And the Lord will bless you, and you'll achieve some things for his glory and his honor. He'll use you in that way. But man, people are doing all kinds of harm to themselves and they're not happy with their lives. I'm going to tell you something. I'm happy, boy. I'll tell you what. But let's read on down. The Bible says this. He said on them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee. I mean, you know what he's saying? He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. It was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that's there. He revealed it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, not like the Catholic Church says, it's them. It says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And look at this. And the gates of hell, tells you something about hell. Hell has gates, bars. It says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, Jesus said, you know, thou art Simon. He said, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, the church is very important to God. The church. I'm talking about a church. Now, the Catholic Church would tell you, oh, that's us. That's us. And there's religions that go out there and say, well, we're the real church. We're the real ones. And they're lying. They're not the real church. The Catholic Church says, well, if you're not in the Catholic Church and your baby's not baptized and you're not sprinkled or whatever they do, and if they're not in that, you're going to hell. That's a lie. And then you got the Mormons that come along. We just seen old Romney, you know the spineless, whatever he is. And we seen Romney, he's a Mormon. And the Mormons say, we're the only church. We're the only ones. And if you're not in our church, you're going to hell. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even believe there's a hell. They just say you're going to go to the ground like a dog. And that's it. And the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all them are cults, just like the Catholic Church. You got the Methodist was probably the greatest Bible preaching, teaching church there was in the history of America. Some of the best preachers ever came out of preaching was Methodists. They were preaching the gospel. They went across this land, I mean, like wildfire. They went missionaries around the world. I mean, they were going out preaching. Now, the Methodists believe you could lose your salvation. They believe that. And we was at this funeral yesterday. You got the Church of Christ. You say, aren't all religions the same? No, they're not. They're not the same. There was a guy there yesterday. He knew who I was. He was the pastor of the Church of Christ. And people said, well, the Church of Christ and the Baptist, same thing. No, it's not. The Church of Christ, they believe this. They believe that baptism is their salvation. They believe if you're not baptized in their church, then you're going to hell. Now, we as Baptists, now we baptize people, but we don't believe baptism is going to save you. We don't believe that. See, the church is a body of believers and believing the Bible, believing the truth. And it's important to know the truth. And the Church of God is probably got the best name when it comes to churches. They probably got the best name because that's the Church of God is in the Bible. But the Church of God is not, they don't preach the Bible. Not like they believe all kinds of new Bibles. They got all kinds of rock and roll. They got, they got speaking in tongues and all that stuff. They still preach salvation, but a lot of them preach that you have to speak in tongues to prove that you're saved. That's not true. That's not true at all. So people get to the point, they say, man, religion is too complicated. I know when I first got saved and I went to Riverdale Baptist Church where I got saved and I started studying all that, I said, man, this is complicated. To know all this stuff, it's complicated. I was telling Tori this morning downstairs, I said, you know, I ran into a Church of Christ preacher one time. I was out in South Carolina. I was a youth pastor. Actually taking the youth out wasn't really official, but I was taking the kids out street preaching and on Friday and Saturday night and passing out tracts, and I ran into a Church of Christ preacher. And a Church of Christ preacher, he says, you mean all I got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I can be saved? I said, that's what the Bible says. It says in Acts chapter 16, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he goes, well, what about 1 Peter 3:21? What about Acts 2:38? And he's walking away from me. I got my Bible, man. I'm following along behind him. And I was telling Tori this morning, when I seen 1 Peter 3:21, it threw me for a loop. I went, oh, man, I didn't know how to explain that. Because it says, wherein even doeth baptism doeth now save us. And I thought, man, what in the world? I couldn't believe. See, there's baptisms in the Bible. There's water baptism, and there's baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual baptism. When I baptize people in water here, I say, in like figure as buried in likeness of his death, raised in likeness of his resurrection. So what we preach is that you have to be saved, and then when you get baptized, it's an obedience to Jesus Christ. That's not part of your salvation. It's obedience. It's showing the death, burial, and resurrection what Jesus Christ, when he saved you, he made you a new creature in Christ. He washed you in the blood. And that's what the baptism is. And that's what 1 Peter 3:21 is talking about. And man, I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't deal with that. I was like, man, I called the preacher up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, and as soon as he answered the phone, he had heard that I got stumped. He heard. And I tell you, opposition is good. When you run in, the devil will see to that you're running people that don't believe the Bible. And he'll throw stuff at you. He'll throw wrenches in your plans and try to mess you up. And this guy, when I called this preacher up, and I called him up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there reading my Bible. I'm praying, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And the preacher called up. And when I called him up, he just went, hey, the verse you're looking at, he knew. He was waiting for me to call. And he said, that verse, look at the verse again. And I looked at it and he broke it down. He said, look at it. Look what it is. That's not water baptism. I went, oh, man. I was loaded for bear then. I said, I want to see that guy again. I want to go, you know, because that guy stumped me. He messed me up. And but the church is important to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church not having apostasy in it, not having, schisms in it. The church is an organization. And it's an organism. And it's a body. It's a body. And the Bible calls it a body. And then it says it's a bride. The Bible says the church is a bride. So if you're saved in here, you're part of the church. Raise your hand if you're saved. Raise your hand. You're part of the church. Now, you might not be a member of Faith Baptist Church. This is a local assembly. This local assembly, it cannot, by the name of it, cannot get you to heaven. You can trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, here. And that's what was church is established for, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you can get saved here. But that just being a member of Faith Baptist Church doesn't put you in the body of Christ. You have to be saved. You have to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. So there's believers. There's believers in every religion. When you stand before God, he's not going to say, all the Baptists over here, all the Methodists over here, all the Catholics over here. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, hey, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, no matter what brand you are, that's why a lot of churches, you don't see any brand on them. They don't have Church of Christ. They don't have Church of God. They don't have Baptist. They just have Bible church. And they don't want the brand. He said, is that good then? Well, what happens is you get all kinds of mess in there. And when you get a church that doesn't have any kind of brand, you don't know what they are. And when people come by here, they say Faith Baptist Church, and we put King James Bible on there, they know what we are. They know we believe that King James Bible, and we're going along with the Baptist faith and what we believe. And so when you got a church, and now there's a lot of churches like Brother Mike Veach up here in New York, he doesn't have Baptist on his name. You say, is he a part of the church? Yes, they are. They're believers. But that doesn't deviate that he's not a member of Jesus Christ's church. So if I'm confusing y'all, I hope I'm not. But take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 20. There is a church. And as believers. Now, I also believe in a local church, and that's what we have here. I've been a member of Faith Baptist Church for 30-some years since I've been pastoring here. I've been a member of Faith Baptist Church. Before that, I was a member of Gethsemane Baptist Church, it's Blessed Hope Baptist Church over in Maryland. And before that, I was a member of Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. I was a member of the church. I believe if you're saved, you ought to be a member of a local church. A Bible-believing church. Not, you know how you see, they say, go to the church of your choice. I say, no, don't do that. Don't go to the church of your choice. You go to the church that preaches that Bible. You go to a lot of churches, they're dead as 4 o'clock, man. You go in there, they don't preach anything. They just dead as 4 o'clock. And they go in there and they preach all, you know, they just preach, you know, 10 minutes, and they'll have all kinds of rock and roll. And you got some churches up here in Smyrna. I mean, they've got in Dover, they're meeting in school. They got rock and roll. They got all that stuff. And people are attracted to that stuff. And the guy don't preach anything. He don't preach on sin. And you ever notice Joel Osteen don't get in there and say, look, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You never find Osteen doing that. You never find none of them other guys telling that. They won't preach that. Why? Because they ain't going to get no money from them. People. They say that's hate literature. No, that's Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did on heaven. So when you got, when you find looking for a Bible-believing church, you've got to find a church that preaches the whole Bible, not just a part. I remember one time a lady, I said, I was on a plane with her, and I said to her, you know, I said, are you saved? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, praise God. Tell me how you got saved. She told me she was saved. She said, but I go to a church that preaches the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, well, what is that? She heard a pastor say it, and that's all, she repeated it. And she didn't know what the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you what the whole gospel is. How many of y'all know what the whole gospel is? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, that's the whole gospel. The death, burial, resurrection, according to scriptures. You know what? There's a lot of Christians sitting in church. They don't know nothing about that. They don't know nothing about their Bible. They don't know nothing. They couldn't. That's why they said, well, it's just too complicated. I just don't want to know. But I'm going to tell you something. There's, if I get around your life and see what your kind of work you're doing, it was complicated. And it's complicated for me. But you had to study to find out what it meant and how to work it and what how to do it. And when you want to know what God said, and instead of taking man's word for it, you get in the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Now, take your Bible. Talking about the Church of God. Take your Bible, look into Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 28. Look what the Bible, we're going to talk about the church maybe for maybe 2 weeks. But Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. The church is important to the Lord. And I'm telling you, sitting here, you said, well, it ain't that important to go to church. It ain't that important to read the Bible. You don't know what you're talking about. You are deceived. It's important to be in church. You know why? Because the Bible says faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. If you go to a Bible-believing church, they're preaching the Bible and you're hearing it and your faith is getting stronger. The Lord wants every believer that's in the church to get stronger. The Bible tells us in Romans that everybody, we're all part of the body. We're all part of the body. And I realize, somebody says the hand can't say to the foot, you're not part of the body. And the foot can't say to the ear, you're not part of the body. The body is of believers is made up of, you know, the believers make the body up. I said this, I've been in a lot of churches. I believe a lot of believers are boogers. They're part of the booger up in the head of the, because they don't know nothing, man. All they need to be is picked, amen? And look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He says, 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's Paul preaching. He said, man, I'm preaching you the whole counsel of God. This is what you need to know as a believer. And most believers, they don't know nothing. I was telling Tori, I said, you know, most kids, teenage kids in church, they don't know nothing. That's why they fall out. You know why a lot of Christians fall out? They don't know nothing. They don't have the brother. There was a deaf guy last night, deaf and dumb man preaching last night. He said, how'd that happen? His wife was interpreting for him. That dude preached a great message. He preached on being rooted and grounded. And he was deaf. How would you like not be able to speak or hear? And this guy studied his Bible. And he gave a message that helped everybody that could hear, that could speak, that could see. Jesse was there, and Jesse got help from it, and Jesse can't see. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians sitting in church. Shame on you. If you have time to learn the Word of God, and study the Word of God, being in church, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and you don't come to the church that which God loves, shame on you. And then what happens is you'll get in trouble, and you'll think, God forsook me. The devil will be right there on your shoulder saying, and see, if you grow, and you get to know what the Bible says, and you get in church, and you learn what the Bible teaches, and how you ought to handle situations in your life, the devil will be whispering in your ear, and you'd say, shut up, get away from me, man. Get out of here. I know, I'm not ignorant of your devices. In the Bible, that's what the Bible says. The devil's got devices. He comes after the church. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You think about this morning. There's churches of believers in China. And China is against the law to have a church. There's believers. They're part of the church. There's believers in North Korea. I read a story about a guy that went in North Korea. He crossed over the river to get into China, And they have soldiers running up and down that river, and they're killing people that's halfway in the water if they're trying to get escape from North Korea to get to China. And he said, you see bodies floating. They leave them in there, and they're swelled up. And he said, man, he crossed over at night. Why? To go get more food for his family because they're starving. And he said he went into China, and there were some Baptist missionaries there giving food, but they made him take a Bible. And he said, if I take this back to North Korea and they find this on me, they'll kill me on the spot. So that guy takes the Bible back. He wouldn't tell his wife, wouldn't tell his children. Can you imagine living like that? And he goes back, digs a hole, puts the Bible in a hole in his backyard, never told his wife nothing. About a year went by, they needed more food. He thought, I got to go back to China. So he jeopardizes his life, go back across, goes back, and he ends up getting saved. This time he gets saved. And he carries two Bibles back. And he carries by, but he still digs a hole. And at night, he would go out there, and when everybody he knew, everybody was asleep, he was just hiding and took a flashlight, dug the Bible up, and sat there and read it. And then buried it again. And put a tree on top of it, a little tree, so nobody would think anything. And this guy, man, kept doing it. And then finally, his wife said, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. They were laying in bed in the silence at night. He said, we can't let our son hear this. We can't let our children hear. And he started telling her about Jesus Christ. She started crying. And she ended up getting saved. They went out there together and dug up the Bible in the middle of the night and with a flashlight reading the Bible. They said, we can't tell our children because in school, the communist school, they'll question them. And they'll expose us. Can you imagine that? Man, he goes on, goes back to China again, jeopardized. He says he started getting more guts. He said, I gotta tell my children. I gotta tell my family. I gotta tell somebody. So he goes back, gets more Bibles, more food, comes back across. God protected him. Doesn't that make you feel like a dirty dog?
Yeah.
You're sitting in a Bible-believing church on a Sunday morning in America. You can read your Bible, but we don't. He finally calls his children out there one night in the middle of the night, him and mama, after this, like 3 years after, sits out there on the ground, digs up the Bible and shows it to him, and starts telling mom and I, trusted Jesus Christ our Savior. We want you to trust him. And you can't say anything. Those children out there on the ground started crying with their mother and father, asked Jesus Christ to save them. They jeopardized their life. They're part of the church. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what the Bible says this? Look here. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Have you taken that counsel from the Word of God? I mean, do you love the Word of God? Or you only pull it out when you need it? Most Christians pull out the Bible when, you know, troubles come. Things going on in their life. And you say, why does that happen? Because God has to get your attention. You're his child. You're bought with a price. He has to get your attention. You probably prayed on the altar saying, God, I love you. I want to serve you the rest of my life. And now something happens in your life and you kind of backslide and backslide, backslide. And the Lord's got to bring something drastic to get your attention. As a pastor, I'm not supposed to drive the sheep.
Right.
Sheep can't be driven like that. That's not going to help them. They'll kill themselves if you drive sheep. As a pastor, you can drive cattle, but you can't drive sheep. You know what you're supposed to do with sheep? The Bible commands me. The Bible commands me to be the right kind of pastor, the under-shepherd. The kind of pastor that should be is to lead the sheep. I'm supposed to lead them. They're supposed to love me enough because I took care of them and fed them, and they'll love me enough to follow me. That's what sheep do. They follow. Look at this. Verse 28. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock. The Bible calls you sheep. You're a flock. This is a local flock. We're not chickens. We're sheep. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you an overseer. I'm an overseer. And sometimes I failed as an overseer, watching over the sheep. He says, the Holy Ghost have made you overseer to feed the church of God. There's that name, church of God. He says, which he hath purchased with his what? His own blood. So my job as a pastor is to feed the sheep and warn the sheep, keep the wolves away. You got wolves out there that come in. And the Bible says they won't spare the flock. They'll just devour them. Teach them all kinds of false doctrine, try to mess them up, ruin their lives. Wolves come in. And as a pastor, that's what my job is, to feed the flock and to encourage them. So God gave the church a purpose. The purpose of the church is to lead the sheep, the flock, to teach them, feed them. So take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When I got saved, it was at church. The church was having a revival meeting. Nobody was there when I got saved. The church was already over. I thought the guy was setting me up to kill me. I really did. I thought the guy set in my mind, the way I thought, I was perverted in my mind. I thought this guy set me up to kill me, bring me up in this church parking lot, and I thought, I'll kill him first. And that night is when I got saved. And I thank that church for putting on that revival. The Lord knew Alan Ryman was going to go to a pro meeting. At 18 years old, punched my prof in the mouth, run from the police. The guy sitting outside in a 69 Z28. And I'm yelling at him, cussing. Get out of here, man. Get me out of here. Cops are coming. Cops are passing by. He looks over at me and says, you want to go to a revival meeting? And I said, what in the blank is that? He says, the place where they preach. I said, I don't hear no preaching. My brother used to preach to me. I stabbed him twice. Didn't want to hear nothing about God. Nothing. I hated God. When my brother got killed, I went outside. God, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. I want to know that you're real. That night, I was put into church. I got saved that night. I wasn't a member of Riverdale Baptist Church yet. But that night, I got into church. I got saved. I got put into church, into Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you that when the church is in Jesus Christ. So that night I got saved. Later on I got baptized. Linda and I got baptized. She got saved. And we both got baptized together. It was in the church. Guess what? We got married in the church. We got married there at the church. Matter of fact, I'm going to call the pastor's wife. She's still alive. She's living over in Annapolis. A guy gave me her number the other day. I'm going to call her. And she was the pastor's wife. They had over 2,500 people come to church. They were gracious people. Her husband was a good man. He'd go to court with me every time I had to go to court. He went to court with all the guys in the gang. His wife was always so sweet to us. I seen her a couple years ago. As soon as she saw me, I was at a preacher's meeting. As soon as I walked in, Brother Cameron Swain was there. As soon as I walked in, she saw me. She started crying. She said, Herbert, her husband's name was Herbert. She said, he loved you. I mean, when I shouted, it scared him half to death. She said, he loved you. She said, we prayed for you. They knew where I came from. It was the church.
Amen.
I thank God for the church.
Amen.
If it wasn't for Riverdale Baptist Church in Riverdale, Maryland, I would have never gotten saved. I mocked Christians. I made fun of them. When my brother, he would start talking to me about Jesus Christ, I said vulgar things about Jesus Christ. I said all kinds of filth about the church and about the preachers and about the Christians. And guess what? You talk about God's got a sense of humor. Amen. Put me in charge of a church. Woo! What a God.
Amen.
What a God. I always look for some opportunity I can witness to somebody. This morning I was getting gas. Guy pulled up an old truck. I try to find the reason I can talk to him. I went over and said, hey, man, I like that old truck. I said, I got one just like it. He goes, you do? He said, I got 15 of them. I said, man, that's a lot. So I got witnessing to him. Man, why? I want to see more people get into church.
Amen.
You know why we're going down to Wesleyan College? We're trying to get people into church. Now, I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about getting them saved in the church. You know why those buses run out there? And those kids and people give. Why you give money? Just get more kids and people in the church. Get them saved. Why we have revivals, youth rallies? We want to see people get in church. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Look what Paul says. Paul, verse 1, it says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Silvanus and our brother. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus, Christ Jesus, called be saints. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saved. The Bible says you're a saint. You don't have to wait till you die and send all this money to the Pope and all that stuff to become a saint. The Bible says you're a saint now. You know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to act like it. I'm not talking about walking around like this. But you're supposed to be a saint. He says to all the saints, look at this, called to be saints with all them that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both at theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about God, Bible, nothing. I couldn't read. I couldn't even read. I didn't know nothing, man. But I know something happened inside me. I knew there was a change. I knew when I got saved, there was something changed in me. I didn't want to use God's name in vain no more. I didn't want to go drinking, which my father put beer in my milk bottle and all that stuff. I drank when I was a kid. And I drank all the way up. I stole Colt 45 trucks, unloaded them. And I didn't want to do that no more. I didn't want to drink no more. I didn't want drugs no more. But I fell. I fell a couple of times. I did fall. And I remember crying. I remember one night I come out of a bar. And I remember walking home. I was going to fight this guy. And I remember walking home that night. And it's a long story about that. But I was going to fight this guy for money. And I remember walking home and I was going, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know no Bible. I didn't know nothing. I was going, Lord, I'm sorry, God. I failed you. I fell into a ditch. I was so drunk. I laid in that ditch and rain was coming down, hit me in the face. And I was going, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Whew. I knew I got saved. I was put in the church. If you're saved in here, you're a part of the church.
Amen.
God loves his church. You're a saint. He wants to see you succeed. He wants you to grow. He wants you to flourish. Not like you think. We think money. Not like that. Now, he might give you money. But he wants you to succeed and grow. Why? Because you're a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're supposed to bring forth fruit. After I got saved, I wanted to see my family come to church. I didn't know how to tell them how to get saved, but I knew if I got them to the church, they could hear it. The preacher would tell them. I brought a gang. I made all the gang get saved. I brought a gang of guys to church, and the pastor, he didn't know how to deal with it. But he'd go to court with us and made him nervous. I mean, but he was a good man. I'm going to ask his wife to come over here and be with us just one Sunday, maybe give a testimony. She's 80-some years old. But she loved us. They brought us to their house. He tried to teach me. He tried to help me. Man, I owe a lot to the church, the individual church, and to the church of believers. I owe a lot to. And you do too if you're saved. Somebody went out of their way. Somebody paid the light bill. Somebody paid for the bus gas. Somebody did something to get you here. Amen. You owe a lot to the church. We're so unthankful, ungrateful. Yep. Look at this. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I'm about to stop. We're just getting started. Galatians chapter 1. I don't want you to endure to the end. Look what Paul said. Paul, whenever he got a chance, I use my testimony whenever I can. Whenever I'm witnessing people, I use my testimony, what God did for me. Because that's a powerful thing. Your testimony is to what you have as a powerful thing for God. If your testimony is matching up with your life now, it should. But God, that's powerful. People can't argue with a testimony. So whenever I was up here Wednesday afternoon at Saucer's house, a bunch of guys, I said, what is this, a reunion of union members? It was all young men. It was probably 8 or 10. And they said, no, we're a union. We all went to school together. And I started witnessing. I gave my testimony. One guy, I said, are y'all saved? And they all kind of like, and one guy stepped up and grabbed my hand and said, I am. I said, amen. So I started giving my testimony to him. Man, they all stood there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and every one of them shook my hand. Every one of them took a track. Your testimony is powerful. Paul uses his testimony every time he got a chance. Why? To bring more people to the church, in the church. Look at this. Galatians chapter 1, and look at verse 12. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is he talking about? Back to verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul saying, what I'm preaching is not my words, is God's. Amen. It's God's word. And he says, that's why I say the church is important. Being in a local church is important. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past. In the Jewish religion, Paul was very zealous in the Jewish religion. And he said, man, I went after people. If you read his testimony, he had people killed. Paul did. God used Moses, which was a murderer. God used Paul, which consented to people dying over religion. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted what? The church of God. And he said, I wasted it. You know, back in the day, he used to say, man, I wasted it, that dude. He said, I wasted it. Why? He was zealous. Wouldn't that be, and what God did, God knew the right man to turn around. God went after him. And Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior on the road to Damascus. And Paul went after people. He didn't care. He went out. You got to get this in your mind. Hey, man, the most important thing in the world, in all the world, is people knowing Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Them that get to know him. That he's the answer to your problems. You might be sitting in here this morning. You're not saved. Or maybe you are saved and you got problems. I'm going to tell you something. He's the answer to your problems. Amen. Going to the bar, drinking, drugging, all that stuff. It ain't the answer. Amen. That's not the answer. Not for a child of God. You can call on God, your Father, and say, Lord, help me. Just like I was in that ditch and I said, God, I'm sorry. Help me. He'll help you. So how do you know that? Personal experience.
Amen.
He'll help you. He's met our needs. I didn't have to con nobody. Didn't have to lie to nobody. I can tell you story after story about God, how he got my license back. I had 68 points on my license. I wasn't going to get them back the rest of my life. God gave them back to me.
Amen.
Church has a purpose. We're supposed to have a purpose. You have a purpose sitting here this morning. Your purpose is to glorify your Father. That's your purpose. In the church. Outside the church. You're in the church of Jesus Christ, but this is a local church that preaches the gospel. You're supposed to glorify your Father in no matter what kind of work you do, no matter where you go. I went to work for Edwards Roofing Company. And Mr. Edwards, down in Pensacola, while I was going to Bible school, he sent me and his son became good friends. Mr. Edwards treated me like a son. I mean, I was a mechanic, roofer, everything for that. I started out working on a roof and worked with all black crew. Man, I tell you, we seen guys getting saved on the roof. And I had guys come up and say, man, you don't shut up. I'm going to sink this hatchet right in your head. And Bill Abner was my boss, a black brother. And Bill said, don't worry, preacher. He said, you just keep on singing. You keep on preaching. He said, that dude come run close to you. He said, he's going to have to learn how to fly. He said, I'll throw him off the roof. But when I was, he sent us to Kansas City, Missouri to buy a crane. They sent me to crane school, learn how to operate a crane. And on the plane, I messed with Rick Edwards. He was Southern Baptist. I messed with him all the time. And he didn't know no Bible. He didn't know nothing. So I'm on the plane. I said, hey, man, we better pray before we take off. He says, why? I said, you think about everybody damning everything, the pilot damning the stewardess and all that stuff. And I said, the mechanic damning the engines and everybody damning. I thought, you know, the last thing they said on that plane in Chicago that went down, the last recording on that plane, that pilot said, I'll be God blank. And God said, okay. And I said, everybody's damning everything. And he goes, yeah, let's pray. So then I grabbed him. I always mess with him. I said, no, it'd be a great time we could witness for Jesus Christ on the way down. He goes, no, man, don't be playing around. Let's pray. Pray. So we prayed. We flew to Kansas City, got out there, and the guy owned Grove Cranes. How many of y'all know anything about cranes? Grove is a big crane company. And the guy picked us up at the airport, took us to this big hotel, had a rotating, you know, dining up 45th floor, whatever it was. And this guy, he says, me and Rick, we're unpacking, getting ready to get in the room. And he goes, he says to me, hey, tell Rick I'll meet y'all in the bar. I'll meet y'all in the bar. And I say, okay. So I'm standing with my suitcase and Rick turns around. We go up to the room and we unpacking. Rick, you have to know Rick. Rick, he didn't like to get dirty. We was on the roof together, and I said, Rick, hand me that trowel for that tar. He go, That's why his dad put him with me. And so we're up there unpacking our clothes and everything. And Rick said, where did he say meet him at? I said, in the bar. He went, He looked at me and said, are we going to the bar? I said, yeah, we're going to the bar. Oh, okay. We're away from home, man. Yeah, we have a good time. All right. We'll be here for a week, man. We can. I said, let's go down to the bar. So we go down to the bar. We sit there, and the guy's already half drunk. He said, anything you want. Get anything you want, anything to drink. He's a millionaire. He said, anything you want. And Rick says, I'll take a beer. And he looks over at me, and the guy, and the waitress says, what do you want? I said, I'll take a Coke. And Rick went like this. He went, oh. He put his head down. He knew right then, brother. I wasn't going to be playing hanky-panky away from home. I was going to be a Christian no matter where I went.
Amen.
And so Rick never touched that beer. He wouldn't touch it. And the guy started off, and he goes, you know, he fired me up. And I started preaching to him. And I mean, witnessing, and I stood up in the place and I'm witnessing everybody. And man, finally, he says, well, I got to go, man. He jumped up out of there. And we went back to bed, or back up to the room. And the waitress, I witnessed to her and witnessed every, and the bartender, I witnessed everybody in there. Man, that dude shot out of there. And I mean, he didn't want to take a chance of losing this. We had a certified check to buy a crane outright. And he didn't want to take that chance of losing that thing. So we go back to the room, and I get on my knees, and I'm praying, thanking God for not drinking, and we get witness for Jesus Christ. And Rick was laying in the bed, had the pillow over his head. He didn't want to hear it. But the Lord, you're supposed to be a witness no matter where you go.
Amen.
No matter who's around or who's not around. A Christian is a Christian all the time. We're not part-time.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, I haven't even got to the church yet. Father, thank you, God, for your blessing. Thank you for your mercy. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord God, to live for you and honor you. Save that one in Jesus' name. Amen.